May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 1006. Buried in shadows of the night, we lie till Christ restores the light. Wisdom descends to heal the blind and chase the darkness of the mind. 1006.
May the Lord help us to read the Gospel according to St. John, part of chapter 1. John, chapter 1. We will commence reading at verse 19. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he saith, "I am not. Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as said the prophet Isaiah." And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him, and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water. But there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latched are not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me.' And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." Again the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" He saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us prayer. O Lord, we do pray for that grace we need to turn away from all other, from self, and from all other, and to look unto thee. Oh, we pray, Lord, as this congregation has gathered together through thy kind providence this evening, that thou wouldst now separate us unto thyself. O Lord, do favour us here this evening with a Bethel visit. The Lord is in this place. This is not other than the house of God. This is the very gate of heaven. For Lord, we need thee. If we do not realize it, make us realize it. And we pray for thy visitation. We confess that we are unworthy. But we plead the eternal worthiness of thy Son. For is not that the song that is being sung in heaven even now? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And we do pray to have our eyes opened. Lord, as thou didst open the eyes of thy disciples, the eyes of their understanding, that they should understand the scriptures, oh, that saving understanding, that believing understanding, Lord, that saving knowledge of thy dear Son. Oh, we do plead for it, for this is life eternal. Didst thou say, Lord Jesus, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou sent. And we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst make thyself known this evening, in the breaking of bread, as it were. Lord, that thy sheep and thy lambs may be fed with food convenient for them, the gospel. Oh Lord, we plead for the gospel, the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Oh, do, blessed Spirit of truth, preach the gospel this night into our hearts. Demonstration, application, authority, unction, those blessed abiding effects. O Lord, we pray there may be fruit that will remain this evening. We pray for those signs following the preaching of the word. We pray then for the preaching of the word in such a way as there shall be signs following. Lord, that sinners may be saved here tonight and confirmed here tonight and grow here tonight in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and in grace. O Lord, we pray that thou wouldst take up thy people's cases tonight and deal with them. The careless, Lord, deal with their case. Make them tremble. The trembling, Lord, may deal with their case and take the cup of trembling out of their hand in pardoning their sin. And Lord, the dead, either dead altogether in sin or those that feel so dead, who are not dead in trespasses and sins, but feel so dead, unable to move, unable to feel, unable to see, unable to hear, unable to desire, unable to do anything, like the dead. Lord, we pray tonight, fulfill thy promise, thy dead men shall live. Together with thy dead body, thou hast said they shall arise. Lord, who say unto them, come forth, awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out her dead. And Lord, we pray for direction. For those that come seeking this, Lord, we pray, Lord, for liberty for those who are in captivity. Nor do this night send forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. Lord, remember those in Doubting Castle. Thou knowest how they've got there. They've turned aside. They've gone into Bypath Meadow, and it has led to the solemn place they're now in. Doubting. O Lord, leave none of us to think that a doubting condition is anything other than captivity. Leave none of us to think that a doubting condition is a hopeless condition. But let none of us think that doubting is a satisfactory condition. O Lord, grant that prayer that thou didst give those two pilgrims in that allegory of thy servant John Bunyan. they began to pray. And then thou didst answer that prayer and show the man he had the key in his pocket that would open every gate and every door, thy promise. For thou art faithful to thy promise. Lord, thy promises are yea and amen. And thou dost promise to deliver sinners from wherever they are, outside of hell. Lord, help any denied who feel to be on the brink of that place. Oh, what a solemn place. Help them to look from the borders of the pit to thy recovering grace. Lord, we pray for a real look. And we pray for a real recovering. We pray, Lord, for the forgiveness of our sins and the conquering of the power of sin. We pray to be manifestly made new creatures. Old things to pass away. We pray, Lord, for the adoption of children. Oh, Lord, we plead for thy Spirit that bears witness with thy people that Christ is theirs, that the Spirit is theirs, that the Father is theirs. They are his. My people. I will say it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. Lord, we pray for it tonight. Lord, help those who long to know it. Lord, help them now even to lift up their eyes unto thee and plead for it. And may the blessing come. We do beseech thee. We ask for a thankful heart for all thy mercies and favours, thy long-suffering forbearance toward us and thy kindness. Oh, we thank thee, Lord, in remembrance of all that thou hast done for any of us. We thank thee in remembrance of what thy Son did do. When he was made obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, we thank thee that thou didst lay on him the iniquity of all thy people, and that he did bear it away. And therefore, even in the valley of Achor, the valley of trouble, there is a door that thou dost open, when by thy Spirit thou dost reveal thy Son. A door of hope is opened wide in Jesus' bleeding hands and feet and side. Oh, for a sight. Lord, have mercy. Bless this people. Let thy work appear amongst them, in them. And let thy beauty be upon them. And establish thou the work of their hands. Lord, by thy Spirit may they labour in the Lord. May they travail for their own souls and for the souls of others, the souls of each other. Or may it be a truly spiritually united people. United in what Christ has done. Lord, have mercy then. Help the deacons. Bless their labours. Give them wisdom in all their office. Help them, Lord, as they visit. Help them, Lord, as they stand at the desk. Help them, Lord, as they pore over the hymn book. Thy word. And as from time to time they have to read, direct them, Lord, we pray. Bless their labours. Bless each servant of thine that comes here to preach. May they come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. to grant them the grace and the gifts needed to declare the whole counsel of God, whether men will hear or whether they will forbear. But we pray there may be that blessed hearing of faith given to the hearers. Help the people in the pews, Lord. Lord, thou knowest how Satan comes in amongst thy people when they gather together. Lord, help any who even now feel that he's sat next to them, or even within them, distracting them, turning their thoughts away, telling them they have no right to be here, they're not fit to be here, and there will be nothing for them, so why have they come? O Lord, rebuke the adversary for them, we pray. We see help in the families. Have mercy on our children and grandchildren and each of our dear ones, if it could please thee. Lord, help us. Help parents to pray. Help parents, Lord, to read to their children, to speak to their children. Lord, grant parents grace. There be a gracious example set. Lord, appear in all the perplexities and difficulties. Guide our youth, we pray. Order their steps, provide for them, go before them. Grant, Lord, we pray, thy blessing in the families, thy watchful care over our children, and the safe bringing into this world those yet unborn. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst touch them as they are found in thy house and as thy word is read to them in their homes. Touch them, Lord, with thy almighty yet kind and gentle touch. Thy servant Paul said, thy gentleness hath made me great. Oh, may it do the same for them. Lord, we thank thee for thy gentleness. If thou wast anything other than that, we must be consumed. Lord, do make a way where there is none. Help those who this day, the mountains in their life and in their soul seem to get greater as every day passes. Lord, we pray for faith. Oh, may we hear those words, who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. Hear them in such a way as we shall believe them. And so have our eyes not on the mountain, but on God, who is above every mountain. Lord, help us to remember it's not by might nor by power, but by thy Spirit. Come now, we beg. Then, the mountain before one, the sermon to preach. The mountain of sin that perhaps appears ready to crush a poor sinner in this assembly. Oh, do come, we pray, and clothe one's tongue and lips with thy power. As the word goes forth with power from on high, to declare from whence it came and whither it goes. We pray for absent ones. We commend to thee afflicted ones, aged ones, and others detain, those that care for the children. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst visit them. She that tarried at home divided the spoil, we read. May it be so even tonight. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn 380. O Jesus, thou fountain of grace, enlighten, enliven my heart, and show the sweet smiles of thy face, and from me bid evil depart. Pronounce I am thine, a sinner once purchased by blood, and may I forever recline on the bosom of Jesus my Lord. 380.
dependence upon the Lord, I venture to direct you to the chapter that we read, the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 1. John chapter 1, reading verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This John is the forerunner of the Lord that was promised to go before the Lord and to proclaim, as he did, the gospel. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. How was the kingdom of heaven at hand? It was at hand in that the Son of God had come down from heaven. To accomplish that great work, which would bring all his people into the kingdom of heaven. The Father says of him, Behold, I've set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. And his word still tonight is this, Fear not, daughter of Zion, for thy King cometh unto thee. This was John's ministry. Thy King cometh unto thee, having salvation. Lowly, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. Oh, how by the grace of God, John, so gladly, pointed sinners away from himself to Christ. We may be sure that that was so in his ministry before this day. And it was certainly so in his ministry this day that we read of in this chapter. For he says of Christ, I'm not even worthy to loosen his shoes latchet. He knew who Christ was. In this chapter he gives us an account of how this was revealed to him. For he says, I knew him not. Oh, how that proves to you and me, my dear friend, our need of revelation of Christ. Because here was a man who had the Holy Spirit upon him from his mother's womb. So that he leapt in the womb for joy at the voice of Mary, the mother of Jesus. But now he has to confess, I knew him not. That may seem mysterious to you. I think particularly perhaps of the young ones, but older ones too, that have yet to walk this path. For those of you that have walked it and are walking it, it will not be mysterious to you. Those of you that have known him a little, to come into the experience, you have to confess with John, I know, knew him not. And it brings a great question into your soul as you ever, if you ever really knew him rightly. Well, what did the Apostle Paul say? He said, I know nothing of myself. I know nothing of myself. The Lord knows my prayer in the hymn you've just sung as you were singing. It was this, Lord, how can I preach thee except thou help me? I cannot. The Lord's servants are continually dependent. Oh, the Lord has made himself known to them in some measure, or else they wouldn't have been sent by the Lord to preach him. But on every occasion, they cannot go relying on the past. They have to go, if they go rightly, relying on the Lord himself. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him. Firstly, notice this. This wonderful truth that we need reminding of again and again. The one whose name is Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Oh, the Lord teach you and me by his Spirit, so that we do not get that interpretation of his name wrong. We are very inclined to misinterpret his name and think he saves his people in their sins. But that's no salvation. He saves his people from their sins. My dear friend, you and I don't just need forgiveness tonight. We need repentance. And that's what he is exalted at his Father's right hand to give. Not just forgiveness, but repentance. Repentance and remission of sins. And what is repentance? Is a turning. A turning. A turning from sin unto the Lord. Repentance toward God and faith toward Jesus Christ. For this truth, Jesus walked towards John. This truth that he who made this earth and everything else, this truth that he who hangs this world upon nothing and causes it to proceed in such a precise orbit, but can, if it please him as he has done, cause that motion of this earth around the sun to be changed, as in the days of Hezekiah. That he came down and became a man to save sinners. That was to become exceeding poor, to become a man. The Almighty God, the infinite God whom we cannot possibly comprehend, and the glory in which he eternally dwelt, we cannot comprehend. But that person should come down and take our nature without sin into union with himself. The infinite should take a finite nature. That was to become poor. But all that was to become exceeding poor. The purpose for which he came, to be the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, to have laid on him all the sins of his church and to suffer for those sins, the full penalty. But you see, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him. Jesus coming unto him. This is what is set forth in the advent of Christ, his first advent. When he came into this world, it is seen in all his ministry. He was coming unto his people. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. A certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, we read, came where that poor man was. No one else could come where they was. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is set forth by that Samaritan, he is the only one that is the neighbor of sinners. Remember the question that is put by the Lord in that parable. Who then was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? My dear friend, if you don't have Christ as your neighbor, you don't have a neighbor. There is none that can come and deliver you from your ruined state by nature. There is none that can come and bring you up out of that condition. What was he? He was half dead. His body was alive, but his soul was dead. Now, who can be neighbor in the true sense of the word to a soul that is dead? Dead in trespasses and sins. What good would it have done if the priest or the Levite had have been able to go? No good at all. Have you got a condition like that, sinner, tonight? You know, a lot of people's religion is such that all they need is a priest or a Levite. All they need is for some minister to encourage them. All they need is for some minister to tell them their sins are forgiven. All they need is some minister even to give them the impression that they're one of the Lord's people. But my dear friend, if you are one of the Lord's people, nothing will do but the visit of Christ. Nothing will do but his word. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence, said the psalmist. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. What do we read of Mary? She sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. Do I speak to one here tonight and you're careful and troubled about many things? If you are, I tell you, you're not where Mary was sat. But you're not forbidden from going. You're not forbidden from asking to be sat where Mary was sat. And if you do sit where Mary was sat and you hear his words, you won't be careful and troubled about many things then. Because you'll be the possessor of the one thing needful, which is to sit at Jesus' feet and hear his words. And looking upon Jesus, seeing Jesus coming to him, he saith, behold the Lamb of God. Behold, look. Oh, my dear friend, the Lamb of God is so great. He was appointed by his Father to be all to his people. He was appointed by his Father and has done all that they need. This is why the gospel word is behold. Sinner, there is nothing for you to do. For there is nothing you can do. Your soul can only be saved by the finished work of Jesus Christ. Because the thing your soul needs saving from is sin. And your doings are sin. Yes, the very best of your doings are sin. Has the Lord showed you that yet? If he hasn't, pray to him that he will show you it. Few, if any, come to Jesus till reduced to self-despair. But what a blessed word to a sinner here tonight, if the Holy Spirit should apply it. Behold, look, look. And if you are favored with a look, it'll be a look like nothing else you've ever seen. There is nothing. I was thinking today as I was out, you know, it's been similar down our way to what it's been up here, I think. Beautiful winter day. And I was looking across the fields, across the hills. And the thought came to me like this: if earth is this beautiful, what must heaven be? Because we can be sure of this, that earth is not more beautiful than heaven. Heaven is infinitely more beautiful. Blessed be his dear name, if you have had a view that makes this world as nothing. As nothing. It is a mercy, my dear friend, if you have a view of your sinfulness, so that there is a cloud over this earth. My dear friend, I have sometimes in my life, under the conviction of my sin and under the troubles that my sin has brought me into, and I couldn't see anything beautiful in creation. Why not? Because of the guilt, the weight of sin on my heart and my conscience, there was that sound ringing in my ear of my soul. And the earth shall melt with fervent heat, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll. But when, child of God, you have beheld the Lamb of God, didn't the whole creation speak with a voice of praise? The hills, the trees clap their hands. One man, he's gone to glory now, he said to me, when the Lord delivered my soul, even the weeds seemed to praise him. One voice. Why is it? Because the Lamb of God is the Creator. It's the work of one God. But God could not save man in the way he created the world. No. Oh, the sin, the web of sin that Satan had wove, and the dreadful mountain of sin that men have committed. It cannot be removed by the speaking of a word from heaven. The Son of God must come down and tabernacle with men and take the nature of men without sin. Oh, that he should be in man's place. Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, that he should bear the whole of the elect's sorrow. that the curse that pertains to their sin should be upon him. As it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the law which man continually breaks and cannot keep may be kept by the God-man, as only he can keep it. One law fulfiller. Behold. Behold. Whatever your condition tonight, sinner, since the text says, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John didn't say to these people, if you can begin to conquer your sin, then you may look. He didn't say if you can repent, this Jesus whom I've preached to you will save you. He said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God. John preached the one sacrifice for sin. What did the Lord say to Solomon at the dedication of the temple? That temple which was a figure of Christ. God said in acceptance of Solomon's prayer, and that acceptance, of course, was through Christ. He said, I've chosen this house for a house of worship. It is. For a house of prayer. It is. But God said, for a house of sacrifice, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The Lord's people are made by his grace a praying people. But it's the answer to their prayers, which is Christ, the Lamb of God, dying in their place and made known to them by the Spirit that takes away their sins. The Lord's people in his providence, not all of them, of course, we don't know where the Lord's hidden ones are through the earth, and perhaps there isn't a place where they can meet together and worship. But where there is, the Lord appoints and he commands, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Has the Lord ever made this place to you the house of sacrifice? The house of sacrifice. For that dedication of the temple, there were hundreds of thousands of animals slain, sheep and oxen. Oh, how seriously Solomon took the matter by the grace of God. But not one of those beasts that were slain, nor the whole quantity of that blood, could put away one sin. But what did those sacrifices point forward to? The day when Christ was crucified. The day when the Son of God and man died on Calvary's cross. By one offering, he has perfected forever those that are sanctified. They are sanctified by the eternal will of God when he chose them in Christ. And in time, they will be sanctified by the quickening of the Holy Spirit, made new creatures, a new heart and a new spirit given unto them. And they are sanctified as they are brought by the Spirit to Christ. Come out from among them and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my children, saith the Lord God Almighty. Behold the Lamb, capital L, the Lamb. My son, God will provide himself a lamb, said Abraham to Isaac. He shall provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Oh, the goodness of God, sinner. That God should provide himself a lamb. Who were the first people that were told after his birth, of his birth? The shepherds. I believe there is significance in that. Those shepherds, no doubt, had raised lambs for those Levitical offerings. And now the angelic host come to declare unto them, and the Holy Spirit works in their heart. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And as the angels departed from them, they said, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing that the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and saw the young child and his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. The Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb. A sacrifice sufficient. A person sufficient to be God's Lamb. Verily God, verily man. One who had undertaken in covenant to bear his people's sins. One who speaks in the book of Proverbs as looking down from heaven, delighting in the habitable part of the earth. One who delighted to come that he might be this lamb. One that came willingly. Isaiah 53 speaks not so much of his coming, but of that when his willingness was tested to the uttermost. Gethsemane, oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. Led as a lamb to the slaughter. He said to those who came to apprehend him in the garden, thinkest thou not that I could ask my Father and he would send me more than 12 legions of angels? But this is your hour and the power of darkness. Not your hour, in the I am come to this hour according to your will. But your hour, because my Father has appointed that by your hands I should be taken and with those cruel hands nailed to that cross. The Lamb of God, the sufficiency then of the Lamb, this sin that he took away, can anyone measure it? Sinner, tonight, are you convinced truly that your sin is immeasurable? Perhaps as when the Lord began his work of conviction in you, it wasn't immeasurable. You saw this sin in the way you spoke. You saw this sin in the way you acted. You saw this sin in the lust of the eyes. But as the Lord led you on, and it's much deeper than that. David says in Psalm 51, thou desirest truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. As he convinced you of that truth, we are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. A wicked heart, the fountain of iniquity that Jesus spoke of. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Now if one evil thought is a sin, and it is, and one idle word is a sin, and we shall be called to give account of it in the day of judgment, and we shall. And an omission is a sin, as well as a commission of that which is forbidden. Oh, the magnitude. The Saviour and his people speak the language, the same language. Mine iniquities have gone over mine head. As an heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. Is that where you are tonight, sinner? This Lamb that John the Baptist pointed the people to, the Lord enabled me to point you to him. But of course, it is only the Holy Spirit that can really do it. But it pleases him through the foolishness of preaching. And therefore, I preach to you the sufficiency of this Lamb, because of who he is. If he were just a man, only a man, if he were a sinless man, if that was possible, he couldn't take away the sin of the world. He must be, as he is, God incarnate. In that truth, there is the sufficiency of pardon. And in this truth also is the need of divine revelation. Whenever a sinner is saved, as Jesus Christ is revealed to them, they come out of that experience of salvation with one testimony. Thou art the Son of God. The Son of God. Thinking also today of those hours of darkness when Christ was hanging on that cross. The total eclipse of the sun over the whole world. If there was any need of any proof that Jesus was the Son of God, that was it. Isaac Watts says in his hymn, well might the sun its face withhold and shut its glories in when Christ, the mighty maker, died for man his creature's sin. The sufficiency then of the Lamb, but the freeness of the gift. The freeness of the gift is a given Lamb, not one reared by those shepherds, not one reared by you, sinner. One given by God, the Lamb of God. God's unspeakable gift. Why? Because it is the will of his Father that his people's sins should be taken away. Therefore, he is the Lamb of God in this sense. God delights in him as his sacrifice, because he is the one that brings his people to him. Not that God in one sense has need of his people. He is God and hath need of nothing. But it hath pleased him to choose a people. It hath pleased him that he shall be glorified. In the salvation of that people. And therefore, Jesus, the Lamb of God, is the Lamb of God in this sense. Oh, how his Father delights in him because of what he accomplishes. He says, I do always those things that please my Father. But the convicted sinner here tonight, what does John Baptist say in his language to the convicted sinner here tonight? This is God's Lamb, not anything you can bring to him. No. What the Holy Spirit brings to you, and in bringing him to you, revealing him to you, you're brought to God the Father in and through his Lamb, by his Lamb. Oh, that sacrifice Christ made is of such infinite value. It is of such worth. Paul speaks of the unsearchable riches of Christ. Oh, how his Father delights in him. But what does this mean to a poor sinner here tonight who is in this trouble? How can my soul be saved? How can my sins be put away? Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The sin of the world could only be taken away by one bearing it away. The margin speaks against this word in the original language, beareth away the sin of the world. Christ bore those sins in his own body on the tree. He was sinless. He did no sin, neither was any guile found in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Oh, a sight of this, sinner. The matchless grace of it. That the Creator He by whom his Father made all things should stoop so low, the law giver should stoop so low to be the law fulfiller. And that law fulfilling required not only an obedience in his life, but that obedience in his death. That anguish of his holy soul. My soul is exceeding sorrowful. This is him bearing away the sin of the world. And in those hours of darkness, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, the Lord impress upon our hearts. The Lord make our insensitive hearts sensitive tonight to this glorious truth, this solemn truth. The Lord help me to remind you once more what a solemn thing sin is. It's not only solemn because of its consequences. If Jesus bore not your sins away, you will bear them forever. But why must you bear them forever? Because sin is such an awful thing. Oh, may we be convinced of it. If there is one here tonight and you are perplexed in your soul, am I really convinced of my sin? Or there may be one here and you feel, I don't feel I am convinced of my sin. But are you convinced? Are you troubled about the lack of conviction? Are you troubled about the lack of trouble? I speak sometimes in my ministry of a desire for a desire. And I speak also of a desire for a right conviction of sin. The Lord will happiness instill on contrite souls, I know. Then tell me, Lord, is mine a contrite heart or no? One thing I can tell you, you can't convince yourself. And I cannot convince you. But the Lord Jesus promised that when the Holy Spirit came, and he was promised to come, as one of the gifts that the Lord Jesus received for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that he should pour out the Holy Spirit upon sinners. He will convince of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Which taketh away the sin of the world. He taketh it away then, as he bears it himself. Well might the Son his face withhold. You see, it's the transgression against God. Ask the Lord, my dear friend, to convince you well of your sin in this respect, not just the consequences. When God convinces of sin, he convinces us of the unholiness. And my dear friend, what a mercy it would be, and I'm sure it will be so, if, and I believe when, the Holy Spirit is poured out upon the churches once more. Sins will be seen that were never seen before. That sight that Isaiah had of the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. When you have a sight of the holiness of God, You will cry out as Isaiah did, woe is me, for I'm undone. Do you love the Lord God with all your heart and with all your soul and your neighbour as yourself? No. Is it a trouble to you that you don't? There is no excuse. No one will have an excuse in the day of judgment, and no one has an excuse that will stand before God this evening. God, our Maker, God, our Judge, God, who is so merciful unto us. In the life he has given, in the blessings of his providence, what the Puritans used to speak of as common grace. There's nothing saving in that, but it is still grace. Because the least drop of water you and I have is a completely undeserved favour. What is grace? The undeserved favour to sinners who deserve eternal wrath. And so a drop of water is common grace. But if we do not receive sovereign grace, especial grace, we shall be eternally damned, and justly so. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away. The Lord teaches his people that prayer in Hosea. Turn, he says. Turn. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity. And John Baptist here in this word, or rather the Spirit in this word, he sets forth the person upon whom the praying sinner's eyes must be when they say, take away all iniquity. The Lamb of God. Only by him can God do it. But as John pronounces here, he is raised up of God, he's sent by God, he is upheld by God, he is smitten by God for this very purpose, to take away the sin. Therefore there is a name to plead, there is the blood to plead, there is God's promise to plead, there is a way open. The freeness, the sovereignness, the sufficiency which taketh away the sin of the world. When he is revealed, he that put away sin by dying upon Calvary's cross puts away sin in the child of God, the sinner's experience, when the Spirit shows him on that cross. Now, hymn you sung just now, that prayer for that assurance that Jesus died for me. What is that assurance? How does a sinner receive that assurance? It is when the Spirit preaches the crucified, now risen Saviour into that one's heart. When the believing view is given, that is the assurance. We know that the Lord does speak forgiveness. He does actually speak the words, thy sins are forgiven, but he doesn't always actually use those words when he forgives sins. There are those that have received the forgiveness of sins, and they haven't heard as such The words, thy sins are forgiven. But what have they seen? They've seen by faith Christ. Behold a scene of matchless grace, Jesus in the sinner's place. You say, what do you mean by seeing him? I don't mean we see him with our eyes, we see a vision in the sky or anything like that. I mean this, when those blessed truths concerning who he is and what he has done, his sufferings, his blood shedding, that payment of that great ransom price, is so preached into our heart with power. My dear friend, forgiveness is a supernatural thing. All saving religion is supernatural. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin. Look unto him. Look, my dear friend, you'll never be convinced of sin in that way in which you can say, ah, I know I'm a child of God now because I'm rightly convinced. The more rightly convinced you become by the Holy Spirit, the more it seems impossible that you're a child of God. Perhaps there's one being led in this way and there's a darker hour than it's ever been. But that's the hour before the day breaks. In the fourth watch of the night came Jesus walking on the sea. Behold the Lamb of God. So he says, do not look at your convictions. Behold the Lamb of God. Do not look at your prayers. Behold the Lamb of God. Do not look to your minister. Behold the Lamb of God. Do not merely look at the Word of God. Behold the Lamb of God who that Word proclaims. Now, what does this mean? The vilest sinner out of hell, who lives to feel his need, is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. Behold how willingly he came and suffered. Behold how he is his Father's gift. Behold how he bore all the sins. And behold how his Father speaks concerning his blood, that his blood cleanseth from all sin. Behold, it's him. The completion. Listen to his dying words. It is finished. It is finished. An end of sin is made. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin. Pardons and conquers its power. So it is the sinner who is loaded with sin. It is the sinner who is full of sin. It is the sinner who can't get free of sin. It's the sinner who can't conquer their sin. That's the one that the Holy Spirit speaks to tonight in this word. Come just as thou art with thy woe. Have you been trying to come with something other than woe? Have you been trying to find something other than woe to bring to the Lord? You'll never find anything other than woe to bring to him. But within yourself. Oh, how every one that thirsteth. Come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, Oh, my dear friend, redemption's been purchased with blood. It couldn't be purchased with anything else. Ye have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money and without price. When they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. What does that mean? When you, poor sinner, are brought to Christ with no reason in yourself at all why he should save you, but every reason in yourself why he should damn you. Because the reason why he will save you, sinner, is not in you. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold how perfect that Lamb is. Behold how sinless that Lamb is. Behold how almighty that Lamb is. Though he was crucified through weakness, he didn't cease to be Almighty God when he veiled his glory and submitted to become poor. Submitted to let wicked hands take him. But submitted to much more than that. Submitted to the smiting of the sword of divine justice, which taketh away. And what does the sinner that looks to him, look to him for? To take away their sin. Speaking that forgiveness, or so revealing himself to me that my sin is put away. If I search to find my sins can ne'er be found. Oh, and sinner, when sin has got you in a grip, you cannot get yourself out of. Perhaps there's one coming here this evening and there's some particular sin or all sin. And you say, mine's a hopeless case. The hymn writer said, didn't he? Mine appeared a hopeless case. Such it had been but for grace. Jesus didn't say to the people, loose yourself. He said, if the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Taketh away the sin. Now here below, he doesn't take away the indwelling of sin. We must have that. That's necessary because it is the Lord's will that we shall have our old nature to the end of our days. Perhaps there is one here perplexed about this. You say, could such black corruption dwell where Christ applies his blood? Not when he grants that fresh application. That application removes it. But because we are still sinners, the guilt removed returns and remains. Fresh guilt. For behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin. Takes it away in his people's experience again and again. Oft as sins my soul assail thee, turn thy eyes to Jesus' blood. Nothing less than this can heal thee, seal thy peace or do thee good. You see, the Lamb takes away the sin of unbelief when he speaks, when he reveals himself. He takes away the sin of enmity when he sheds abroad his love in the heart. He takes away the sin of hardness when he applies his blood, all the softening influence of the blood applied to the heart. He takes away the sin of rebellion when he shows himself suffering for your sins. What a cure for man's self-pity. And that is a sin. Consider him, says the apostle. Behold the Lamb of God. And in beholding, if you're favored to behold. Oh, the one here tonight that says, oh, that I could behold him. The blessed Spirit favor you to go away from this place tonight with that measure of beholding him, so that your eyes are on him to do it for you. If you have a real faith given to you that he is able to. He's able to. The leper had that, didn't he? Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst. Make me clean. But if you have that faith, you won't be satisfied until he turns and says to you, I will be thou clean. But you see, since this word sets forth before us this evening, the Lamb of God taketh away the sin of the world. Open thy mouth wide, sinner. Taketh away the sin. I'll go back to that point. Oh, sinner, are you trying to take away your sin? Do you keep promising God, in effect, you'll be better? And so you don't come to Christ today because you say, I'm going to be better tomorrow. And then perhaps I'll come. Today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Now is the day of salvation. Let not conscience make you linger, nor a fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him. This he gives you. Tis the Spirit's rising beam. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He doesn't mean that Christ died for all men. Why does he then say, the sin of the world? Well, we often are given the answer to such questions as this in considering what the sinner would feel if the word said something else. If John had said, which taketh away the sin of his people, that would have been true. But what about that sinner that hears it? And they say, I'm not one of his people. I greatly fear I'm of the world. Indeed, I can't throw stones at anyone, which taketh away the sin of the world. Because one thing is certain, the people that Jesus died for were not a better people than others. God commendeth his love toward us, says the apostle, in that while we were yet sinners. And he says in another place, if when we were enemies to God, we were reconciled to him by the death of his Son, how much more shall we be saved by his life? This word, the sin of the world, then, is a similar thing to that that the Lord commands concerning the preaching of the gospel. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Which taketh away the sin of the world.
God willing, Mr. Ramsbottom is expected to preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Jabez Rutt next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 119. Great God, from thee there's naught concealed. Thou seest my inward frame. To thee I always stand revealed, exactly as I am. 119.
thank thee for thy word, for thy dear Son, for all that thou hast done, Lord Jesus. We pray thy blessing as we separate. Cause thy word to remain with us. Grant, Lord, there may be that looking even this night to the Lamb once slain. Forgive all amiss. Grant safe journey. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us.